You're listening to Stranger Than. This is a McGill Daily CKUT collaboration. The words you're about to hear were written by Molly Korab. The voice, Rosie Long-Dechter.
Finding yourself dolled up in a grimy apartment at 7 o'clock on a Tuesday morning is an experience that lends itself to a particular sort of heartache. The heartache, perhaps, of feeling a bit too overdressed for your surroundings. It begins after a sleepless night when I slip into a black dress and tall black boots. I head out the door after polishing myself off with a smattering of lipstick and my most delicate pair of earrings. Pretty and fresh-faced, with my pretty, fresh-faced sister at my side, I arrive at a small apartment hidden in a row of brown brick buildings. Soon, a white van arrives. The van belongs to the Minneapolis Mental Health Services Mobile Crisis Unit. I ease my brother out of the apartment toward the van, hold his arm as he struggles down the steps. He's not so cognizant of the space between the sidewalk and the street. He tumbles forward. His fall is one that happens in slow motion, a slow letting go of my arm, a soft thud on the ground. These strangers inside are kind and friendly, not the sort that you might expect to drive a white van to pick up clumsy men from their apartments. One sips mate and turns down the radio as we ease into the car. The other, who seems to float in my memory as a skinny ginger type, looks young and inexperienced. His demeanor betrays him as a Lewis, or a Jerry, or maybe even a Mackenzie. I suspect it's Lewis. We pull out into the wet morning. The four of us make for a neat little quartet. "Wow, she's so pretty," the woman driving the van says. "She must have noticed my fancy earrings. Do you speak Spanish?" Lewis charges forward with the small talk. He's kind. He asks where I go to school, what I want to study. "Wow, McGill is a great school," he says. He goes to a good school, too. "Canada must be great. How's that Montreal weather treating you? The snow must be rough." Is he trying to be comforting? Is he too keen for his job? What if he's interested in me? Perhaps it's my pretty getup. I'm not entirely sure, though he seems too nice to hit on a girl in the back of a white van. We end our journey at another brown brick building, a small mental health institution whose sole defining feature is an elevator that you can't enter or exit without a key. The elevator gives off the distinct odor of confined linoleum. I'm sure that Lewis senses my apprehension. Luckily for me, instead of taking the elevator, the guard tells us to go up the stairs, which also require unlocking a cage-like gate. Guiding our party up the stairs is a struggle. Lewis is visibly upset. I'm not sure if it's because of my distress or the weakness of my brother on my arm or some mixture of both. "Can't you see this man can barely walk?" he reprimands the guard. He looks at me sympathetically, or maybe just for approval. Eventually, I tell Lewis he should leave, to take his kindliness and his sympathy with him. His concern won't do much in guiding us through a waiting room. My brother chews on ice and inexplicably offers them a tip. I barely process the half-hearted goodbye. After they leave, my brother turns to me and asks to go to the bathroom. "What a nice guy," he remarks on our shuffling walk down the hall. Maybe he's right. Maybe Lewis is just a nice guy. Maybe he's just another eager young university student like me, always looking to help. People our age tend to be keen like that. Or maybe not. Maybe he didn't want to help and was just speaking to my lipstick.